We shall rise to hear the Holy Gospel according to the book, Gospel of Luke, from chapter 9. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. Last Sunday was a Sunday of Transfiguration. The text I just read was the Gospel text for last Sunday, which was Transfiguration Sunday. But it was not the text which was read at worship service last week, because this was from the third year of the lectionary cycle. The events of Transfiguration Mountain are so significant that in the three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in these Gospels, the event is recounted almost identically. But in the Gospel of John, it is missing. It is completely absent. Some people suspect that it was John who was on the Mount of Transfiguration with these two other disciples. And the fact that John has omitted this from his gospel is a mysterious for me, at least at times. But with regard to the Mount of Transfiguration and what happened there, and what it really means, I have noticed that in many, many churches, it is depicted as an altar painting. For example, in the Oulu Cathedral this last Sunday, there is a really moving painting. In this painting, Jesus is raising one hand, and around him there is Moses and Elijah standing, and then there are three disciples lower down. The event on the Mount of Transfiguration could be divided into four parts. The first part is when Jesus becomes transfigured and is revealed for a moment as a godly person. And in this same place of light, there were Moses and Elijah, Old Testament figures who had already reached their destination. Their appearance there confirmed that not everything ends in death, but that Christianity is strongly a action faith. It illustrated that those Old Covenant believers, the Old Testament figures, had reached the destination. They were not disappeared into nothingness. They were at rest. And the next part of this is actually when Moses and Elijah and Jesus had a discussion on Jesus's leaving. His mission was coming to an end. He would be nailed to the cross. He would be buried. He would rise on the third day from the dead. And then he would return to his glory. This tells us what was the deepest purpose of Jesus' work. Why he was born on earth. Why did God lower himself to become human? He came to save humanity, the people of that nation, from its sins, and to open the way to heaven. The third part of this is Peter's words to Jesus. Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Surely this situation was quite puzzling for these disciples, possibly scary. Nevertheless, Peter says, I will make you three shelters, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses. Making a shelter or fort means that somebody would come dwell permanently in there. But the journey had to go on, had to continue. Peter may have thought, along with the other disciples, that now they had arrived at their destination. They did not want to leave. They were so close to heaven. But then the fourth part, the voice of God Almighty. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. The voice from the clouds told the disciples about the Master's other nature, the Son of God, was someone who should be listened to and trusted. The Gospel of the Mount of Transfiguration is a clear strengthening of faith for all of the weak travelers on the way to heaven. It is a strong signal of why we are believing, why we should cast sin aside, why we should keep faith and a clear conscience. Moses, the leader of the people in the Old Testament, had arrived at the destination, and his revelation demonstrated that his appearance demonstrated that he had not vanished into thin air, but was at rest. His journey had ended in faith. The book of Hebrews says, because Moses believed, he refused to be treated as a foreigner, and instead, when he became an adult, he chose to share in the sufferings of the people of God rather than seeking the fleeting pleasures of sin, for he regarded Christ as part of a greater treasure than all of the treasures of Egypt, for his eyes were fixed on the reward to come. Moses was able to see with eyes of faith, even though he did not reach the promised land as a representative of the law. He did arrive at the true fatherland, the place where all the believers in the Lord will one day enter. As revealed on Mount Transfiguration, Elijah could be compared to a bringer of the joyous message. Elijah lived 3,000 years ago, about 800 years before the coming of Christ. He fought against the worshippers of Baal. Sometimes I think that Elijah's sermons would be fitting for today. The royal couple favored the worship of Baal. Baal was considered the god of weather and fertility. Elijah preached very boldly, even though the people did not support him. I think our time too is marked or characterized by a rejection of God's word and a trampling of the value of God's word. It's even reached the point where unnatural things are supposed to be made natural. Therefore, it is very necessary to emphasize the personal nature of faith. When thinking of matters of faith, one cannot simply go with the mainstream majority decisions or follow trends. The Word of God does not change. The Lord left His Word for His followers. The Lord's Word is preached by His followers in accordance with the voice that was heard in the cloud. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to Him. Dear traveler, it is good that we are here. Yet, we cannot make a shelter here. Tomorrow, this gigantic service tent will be taken down, and we have to keep going. Nevertheless, it is good that we are here today, at this moment blessed by grace, as it is said so beautifully. Christ has transfigured His face. He has showed His punctured hands, pierced hands, and His hands. Like doubting Thomas, we can say, "My Lord, my God." The good message of Jesus Christ has been proclaimed here. Mercy streams have flowed here. The message of the forgiveness of sins have been proclaimed. Grace. All who are repentant are entitled to God's grace. We are about to come to the Lord's table to partake of the holy meal as a confirmation of our faith. Jesus Himself established that meal, and He has commanded us to partake of it in remembrance of Him. Matthew writes regarding the events of Maundy Thursday, when Jesus sat with His disciples eating. Matthew writes, "During the meal, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, 'Take ye and eat. This is my body.' Then He took a cup, thanked God, and gave it to them and said, 'Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is shed for all of you for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, from now on, I will not taste the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of my Father.'" This Lord's communion is a foreshadowing. Jesus Himself said that He will not drink the fruit of the vine again until He can drink it together with His followers in heaven. In one certain communion hymn, this foreshadowing is portrayed very clearly. It says, for a moment, heaven is on earth when we are in his presence. The celebration of heaven begins here. And mercy brings bliss. This holy meal, this holy communion, is also a meal of communion. It is a dinner of communion with those dear ones close to us who have already completed their journey or reached their destination. A week ago, I was teaching at confirmation camp on Sika Turman, and I teach them about the Eucharist or communion. And I asked the young people there in confirmation school to raise their hand if they knew anybody who has died. And I was shocked. I was amazed and I was touched when I saw how many young people raised their hands. Nearly every single one. When we long for those who have passed away, we can imagine meeting them again at the Lord's table. They are members of the rejoicing congregation. They are rejoicing because their journey has ended in faith. We enjoy the Lord's Supper as members of a battling congregation to strengthen our weak faith. There is an old song of Zion that says, I got to the big services, though my faith remains weak and my imperfect journey. There I will meet our friends. Those who have gone before us, and brothers, sisters, dear ones, and loved ones who have gone to their glory. In the book of Hebrews, it says like this, as we are encircled by a great cloud of witnesses, let us aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us. Let us endeavor and finish the race set before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before us. He endured the suffering of the cross, disregarding the shame. He is seated at the right hand of God. Think of him who endured the fierce opposition of sinners so that you may not lose heart and give up. What is this cloud of witnesses? It is believers who have already finished the journey. They watch this race of faith and encourage us, telling us, hold on a little longer. Soon you will reach your destination. Don't carry your worries and burdens. You can leave them with our Lord. We must cast off all sin that so easily entangles us. Now I want to speak directly to you, traveler on the journey, who experience that your faith is weak. Sometimes you feel like, am I even believing? Will I have the strength to continue until the end? My journey has been so bad. There are so many things that stand in the way of faith. I want to tell you, be comforted. Your sins are forgiven. You can believe them in peace, freedom, and joy in the name and atoning blood of our Savior. And yet, I would also like to speak to you, my friend, who feels like you do not have peace of conscience. You don't have this treasure in your heart. Maybe you left this house of grace. You've lost your faith. Maybe you still have a feeling like, I would like to come back to that house of grace and you would like to join that group of people that are traveling to heaven, what I think is that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has died on behalf of every single one of us. There is not a single person who he has not died on behalf of. And there is also no sin which he has not atoned for. He has died for all of us. He has atoned for all of our sins. He went into the grave of death. He trampled that vine of sin underfoot so that nobody would have to end up there. And he wrote, when he rose up on the third day, he rose up for that very purpose, that every single person would have the opportunity for eternal life. Therefore, I imagine the Savior is raising his hands upon your shoulder and calling you. He calls you to own this faith. You can believe your sins forgiven in the name of our Lord and through his atonement blood. And we can follow. You can follow us and the Lord. Grace is yours. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus' glory shone before his disciples, but they were not allowed to stay there. One day, everyone will be left behind, and it will come to pass, as the poet writes, "May Christ come to meet us, shining us in all his glory. He greets us with light in his heavenly glory, and in our new form, too, shall shine with light, as our choir repeats our thanksgiving." Let us now to join together to profess our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died, and was crucified, and was buried. He descended into hell, rose from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. And from there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. And in the holy mutual congregation, in the Holy Spirit, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and eternal life. Let us pray. Holy God, dear Heavenly Father, you have given us the right to come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to bring to you our requests. Hear us when we say our prayers and concerns for all our neighbors. God, our Father, we shall give unto your hands those prayers of intercession. Several service guests have asked for prayers of intercession.